When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
A lot of time there, but again, tried to keep quiet, at least in that. Walking back and forth to lunch, up and down from practice, the dorms at night at camp, after those guys got out of meetings, we spent a lot of time, you know, hanging out with them and you know, just hearing stories. I've told you the story. Franco took all the ball boys to dinner at Velazzi's, which was the best night of the year. Mm. You know, so that was again another Franco story. My room, especially when I got older, was my father's room was right next to Tunch and Wolf, and I would sneak into my father's room because it had air conditioning. He never stayed at camp; he'd fly home on that little plane every night. And Tunch and Wolf talked every night like they did when they had that radio show. They never shut up. All night long.
Really?
There was some story going on between them.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. So, like, if I would have taped that then, we could have had, like, twice as much content.
Oh, my God, yes.
For Tunch and Wolf.
So, was it obvious to you that whole time, speaking of the locker room aspect, that Joe Green was the unquestioned leader, the vocal guy, just the guy who led everything, or would other guys step into that space once in a while? Did they have tons of leaders?
Yeah, I think that I think what was unique is you had two clear alphas with Joe and Lambert, and then, you know, you had Mel Blount, you had Jack Hamm, you had so many guys that were just so good and so tough. A lot of times all-star teams don't work. And for them to get together and to have that unity, I think that again speaks to them, and it speaks to Coach Knoll in a way that is, you know, it's hard to have that many big egos, big personalities. I remember I was actually walking my dog, and I ran into Mike Sullivan, and we talked about, you know, if you're going to be in big time sports, you have to have guys with those egos, that just massive personality. And it's not always fun. It's certainly not easy. But you can't, guys that have that, so many guys that have that extreme talent also have a personality that is just as extreme. It doesn't mean it's bad, but it's powerful. And to manage all those powerful personalities and make sure one isn't so dominant that you're keeping the other one down, mm-hmm. I think that's a really important skill of a great coach.
Who's one or two guys from those teams that we don't talk about a lot who were people who made it go, whether it's a player, an assistant coach, somebody like that, that not a lot of people talk about all these years later, but who was really integral to their success?
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot, as we should, about Mike Webster, but when you think about, you know, and it was, there were sort of two generations of them, but the linemen, the offensive linemen, John Cole, Moon Mullins, Larry Brown, Sam Davis, you know, all of those guys were just solid. And you need solidity. You need that core, that base, that foundation. Because as I said, you do have big personalities, and certainly the quarterback of the 70s was a huge personality. The receivers were huge personalities. you know, you had some fun personalities all around, but to have guys that you know, were your literal blocking and tackling guys and guys that, you know, took a lunch pail type attitude to work. I know that gets overused, but they were critical and they had fun. They were funny, but they were, their personalities were more calming, more of a base. And, you know, I think that was foundational. Again, I was there at the end of their careers. And then Wolf and Tunch came in. Steve Corson came in. Ray Pinney was there. And that was a place where I think, you know, we didn't have the same talent in the 80s. But what the offensive linemen of the 70s did for the offensive linemen of the 80s, I think was important. And I think that Tunch and Wolf's careers benefited from the guys that really mentored them and they played behind for several years.
Mm. I want to ask you coming up, and we're talking to Jim Rooney here, Dan Rooney's son and the author of A Different Way to Win, which has been enhanced into an audio book that you should check out. It's amazing interviews and sort of a different way to take it all in. And Joe Green does the intro. That's where you want to start. That's a good place to start. I want to ask you coming up what you think your dad would think of some of the changes in the NFL, Jim, including these Christmas Day games, only 4 days apart from other games. Not that Christmas Day is new. The schedule, things like that, moving up to 17, maybe 18 soon. I'd love to know your best guess on what he would have thought of some of these things coming up next. Jim Rooney. In studio till 1 o'clock, and it's the part-time Pomp and Joe show. Am I taking too many shots at Pomp in this holiday season?
Like I started it, and now I'm like, oh man, I don't want Pomp mad at me.
He's permanently mad at me.
Someone said that the show should be called Pomp and Circumstance because there's always circumstances for why Pomp's not here.
That is great. I might have to consider
That's
that
fantastic.
One. It really is. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. In the 1 o'clock hour, I'm going to get into predictions for the game tomorrow. You can weigh in on those. It's a very interesting matchup, isn't it? I mean, here we have the Chiefs coming to town at 14-1. 14-1. The team with the target on their backs still, though, haven't sealed up the number one seed. And that could go right down to the wire. Steelers, of course, looking to win this division. And in my mind, I don't care how you win it. If you win it, that gets you to a home game. Plus, it's a point of pride, whether you won in Baltimore or not. You win the division, you win the division. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. With credit through GM Financial, light rain possible today, high of 40, mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 32. And, of course, if the Ravens win, then you might have to win the last game against the Bengals, too. And they've suddenly become hot. So a lot to talk about as we get to the final couple of hours of the show here on Christmas Eve. It's Pomp and Joe with Jim Rooney. Jim Rooney joining me for another hour here in studio. Dan Rooney's son and the author of the book, A Different Way to Win, which has been enhanced into an audio book with updated interviews, new interviews. This has been, obviously, for you, a labor of love that you've gone back and sort of put the new voices to this book, right, Jim?
Absolutely, Joe. And this, you know, it's the culmination of really 8 years of my life putting this story together. And, you know, I've got to talk to you several times throughout. And I'm really grateful to you and everyone here and who's allowed me to keep telling Dad's story. You know, it just has meant a lot. I think he did some things that were special for football, special for the Steelers. But I also, hopefully, you know, Joe, you and I talk about these things. I think he, found a way to, you know, be in a position of influence and treat people well. And I think we need models like that in the world. And you know, he was one I got to see up close.
Mm. Well, that brings me to these questions, which is, what do you think, and I have a couple of different categories here. What do you think your dad would think of coming back and playing games this soon after they just played three games? What do you think he would have thought if the schedule came out and the Steelers had three games in 11 days?
Well, look, my father was always very concerned about player safety. You know, he really committed to make sure that Acrisure Stadium, you know, was a grass field because he saw the data on player safety. So I know that was something that he spent a lot of time with. He had great relationships with our doctors and with folks that at, you know, is now UPMC, the Pittsburgh Medical School, you know, throughout his life. Joe Maroon was one of the first guys to really look at concussions. So player safety was always really important to him. I think he also knew though that, you know, we're in the entertainment business and you kind of got to go where the eyeballs are, and people now spend, you know, more time on Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, watching things in their homes. So, you know, that's where the NFL is going to be. You know, I guess you wish maybe that they thought a little bit more about some bye weeks and how bye weeks might affect these types of games. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and say Dad would have been against it, because I think he understood that from a business standpoint. You know, and you know, I talk in the book a lot about the collective bargaining agreement. He was one of the first guys to make sure the players had leverage in their negotiations. And if you're going to split this money, to some degree, you have to go where the money is, and the money is there on holidays. People, you know, we all sit around more and watch stuff, and so I think that's how I feel about that one.
He was an advocate, I believe. I remember him saying this. I remember Ed Bouchette writing about it, that your dad was an advocate for an eye in the sky type of replay system, where somebody would be up there, and they kind of have that now, where we don't have to go to replay. They get an immediate ruling from essentially somebody sitting up there and say, don't even bother going to replay. You got it wrong or you got it right. Do you think he would like where replay has gone?
Well, so Roger Goodell, who was very close to my father, is a good friend, went to W&J, spent a lot of time in Western Pennsylvania, spent a lot of time with me doing interviews, and did one of the big interviews that's actually in the audiobook. So I can't get him too mad at me. I just don't understand why we spend so much time stopping. Just call it, whether it's in the sky, on the ground, or somewhere else, and just move the ball and go to whatever down it is. Like, that we're going to stop the game for these guys to explain 50 reasons why they may or may not be consistent with what we're all seeing makes no sense. Just place the ball, snap the next play. Let's keep the game going.
Do you think your dad was glad that replay came into the game? And of course, the play that launched it was a play against the Mike Renfro play. Do you think he was glad, or do you think he thought it became, you know, a matter of maybe some unintended consequences that would arise now and again?
Well, you know, again, in the conversation with Commissioner Goodell, we talk about, my father would always tease the referees, but he had great relationships with the referees, and especially some of the folks from Pittsburgh in the off season. He wasn't hanging out with them, but you know, they would see each other at different events, and always was good there. He understood how hard the job was, but my father, you know, related to anything in business, but I think it could go to this one. You know, he understood that things are never going to be perfect. And when you spend so much time trying to be perfect, you're probably going to cause yourself more problems than not. And so I think that, you know, having some ability to check to see if something was obviously happened or didn't happen is important. But when the precision, when the effort at trying to achieve precision becomes so, you know, minute that you're basically, you know, not likely to come up with a clear conclusion, I think that just confuses people, and you don't want to confuse people that are watching your sport.
Jim Rooney joining me.
Did I just confuse you with that?
No, I think that was very clear that you, in the effort to achieve perfection, ironically, you might screw it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Although there's a great Vince Lombardi quote, in an effort to achieve perfection, you hope to catch excellence. Remember that quote?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that quote.
I like that quote.
I think there should be fewer games in all sports, Jim. Of course, I know I'm fighting an uphill battle there. I liked it. I liked it when the NFL was 14 games. I did. And now I think they're headed toward 18 or maybe even more. How did your dad feel about that, about expanded schedules? And where do you think he'd want to cap it?
Well, I do know he told the New York Times 15 years ago that, you know, he wasn't a big fan of the 18-game plan. You know, but, you know, again, if you can manage player safety, if there's a way that, that everyone can work it out and you get, you know, some way that everyone feels good about the safety consequences, you know, we live in a world that's you know, has sports 24/7, every league. I agree with you on a general matter. Every league is playing too many games, you know, and I think it takes something away. And I think we're all going to have to get to, I think all sports will end up in a load management situation, which is going to change the rosters, is going to change the scheduling, is going to change the coaching strategy. And I don't know that the fans will be served when you spend a ton of money to fly to Pittsburgh or, you know, go see a basketball game in Cleveland or a hockey game in Philadelphia, and the folks you were hoping to see aren't on the field.
Right. Had a question from a fan here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Are the Steelers going to play in Ireland or Germany next year? Do you know? Or what's the next international game? I haven't even been keeping track of this myself.
So I don't think it's been finalized, but I understand there's a pretty high likelihood that the Steelers, that there'll be a game in Ireland, and then there's a high likelihood that the Steelers will be one of the two teams in that game.
Hmm.
So that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to be scooping.
No, I know.
NFL media.
Please, yes. You've been to Ireland, I assume, several times?
Many, 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 many times. Yes, I was first in Ireland. I was in Ireland before I was at a Super Bowl.
Really?
Yep. So that's how long ago that was.
I took a trip there with my brother. We landed in Shannon. We went to Galway. We went to everything in the southwest part. We were there for a Van Morrison concert. It was a home game for him. Van Morrison singing on his home turf.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Although the walk to the concert was like Desolation Row. It was. I've never seen a concert scene like that.
I thought
half the people were dead. They were just passed out. But it was a great show.
The Van Bob Dylan crossover reference there. That was pretty good with the
that
Desolation
was good,
Row.
Wasn't it? Yes.
I'm liking that.
I like that too.
I saw U2 in Dublin. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my
life. Wow.
So I saw them in Croke Park, which is a historically really important stadium. And at the end of the show, so you know, Ireland's north of the United, much of the United States. So it was June and it was light out until about midnight. And the show's ending and this so they shoot off fireworks, but then the storm is coming in off the ocean into Dublin, and it's thundering and lightning the same time as the show's ending. It was one of the coolest moments.
Wow.
And they ended, so they sang, you know, all their great songs. This was 85, 86, something like that. All their great songs, but they ended with Help from the Beatles. And everyone in Europe, everyone knew the song, so everyone was singing along. That was a pretty cool moment.
That is awesome. I just thought of something for you. You should do a Steelers of the 70s podcast. It would be unbelievable. Unbelievable with interviews, with your personal experiences. I think that would be incredible. Would you consider it?
I'd like to do a podcast. So,
you have a great radio voice and you have.
And face.
Yeah, we both have faces for radio.
Exactly.
Yes. Tell me your best Jack Lambert story. I still maintain, by the way, as did Ron Cook, that Jack Lambert is the single most popular Steeler of all time. Would you agree?
He's up there. I told you this. I think I might have said this last time, though. I remember the reason I will tell a Lambert story, but the reason I am suggesting someone else is because of a personal experience.
Mm.
I might have told this last time, but I'm on this black volcanic beach in Chile in South
didn't
America.
You did tell me this.
Okay.
No.
So I am 10,000 miles away from Pittsburgh. I'm probably 2,000 miles away from Antarctica. And
can I guess who it was?
And so I'm on this beach. And I see someone walking, and they have a black jersey on with a number.
43?
Nope.
32?
32.
Mm.
So I always say, okay, that weighs it pretty heavy.
Yeah.
When you're that far away. But Lambert was you know, he was just so great. Jack was really good to me. Again, I had been diagnosed with diabetes, and struggled a little bit taking care of myself, which was me. It wasn't the doctors or anything. And so I had a few issues at camp. And so I'd be in the training room with Ralph Berlin and Lambert, who was mean to everyone during training camp, kind of took me under his wing. And he'd be mean to me, but then he'd be meaner to anyone else that was mean to me. So I always felt Jack, took me under his wing, just spent a lot of time with him. Smartest guy maybe to ever play for the Steelers.
Football smarts or general smarts?
Just a brilliant, brilliant guy.
Huh?
The impression is the opposite, but Jack was smarter than just about anyone I'd ever seen there.
When was the last time you talked or saw Jack Lambert?
I haven't talked to him in a little while. I know my brother talks to him occasionally. Jack doesn't he doesn't talk to anyone too often.
No, he's a recluse. He's Greta Garbo.
A couple of the players, though, from the 70s, a couple of those guys you talked to yesterday,
yeah,
I know they have some interaction with him, from my understanding.
Hmm. I know Jack likes hockey. And he had left me a couple of notes. He used to do handwritten notes, okay? So one time I was comparing today's football. This was like 15 years ago, modern game to the 70s game. And I got his weight wrong because it was a typo. It really was. He played at like 228 or 220, and I had 208, I think.
218.
He was at 218?
Yep.
I had 208.
Yep.
So he sends me a note, sends it to the Trib where I work then. There it is, Jack Lambert. And he says, next time you write about me, get the weight right, something like that. And then at the end, he said, hugs and kisses, Jack, XOXO. Then later on, at Chuck Knoll's passing, He liked a story I did about how people were criticizing Bradshaw for not being around. And my take was, who am I to critique how somebody deals with either grief or deals with whether or not they go to somebody's funeral they used to work with that they want to or not? You know, it's not my, I didn't think it was my place to critique it. He liked that. And he sent me back the article with a yellow highlighter, the parts he liked. And again, at the end, put hugs and kisses, Jack, with the XOXO. I still have the letters, needless to say.
Well, I know he was a crazy hockey fan. And, we just lost Tony Parisi, who was, the Steelers equipment manager, but he was a goalie for the Pittsburgh Barons. And, that's how Parisi ended up with the Steelers. He was a goalie here in Pittsburgh first. That's what brought him out of Canada. And Jack and Tony had a fantastic relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know how much Tony got him into. You know, Jack played in some of those beer leagues.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
he loved it, apparently.
Yeah. And Tony kind of, it's my understanding, got him all the equipment, got him kind of ready for all that. So that was fun. And Tony was, great, great guy. Another guy in that locker room. You talk about guys that people don't know about that had a big influence. You know, Ralph Berlin, our trainer, Tony Parisi, Joe Gordon, who we talked about, all those guys dealt with these guys on a daily basis on things that were important to their career, their health, their equipment, their public perception. And, it was cool to see. I learned something. We talk about the fun side of the locker room, but about professionalism. There's a time to give someone a hard time, tease, joke around with them, but there's a time that those guys just really understood their careers, how important their careers were, how to get them ready, how to prepare them, how to give them thoughts on how to take care of their body or take care of themselves in public in ways that I think each of them would say, they were mentors and sort of a daily aspect of my life. We talk about my dad and Chuck, and I think they were both critical, but Tony Parisi, Ralph Berlin, Joe Gordon, as I said, they probably spent a lot more time on a daily basis with each player and, had huge influences on all those guys' lives.
I don't know how those guys survived that day and age to play as many years as they did, so many of them, because A, we weren't advanced nearly as far as we are now medically, like with a simple knee injury or something, knee surgery. And then B, all the hitting they did in training camp and practices, and they still played 14 games, 17 if you were the Steelers. I don't know how they survived, Jim, to have the careers they did.
I remember joking with Mel at something, saying, it was harder to be a ball boy in the 70s than it is to be a player with the practice restrictions now. It was crazy. I mean, two-a-days, with full contact in that last half of practice or last 20 minutes of practice, every practice.
Yeah.
Twice a day, you were having a high school level football game with professionals just hitting each other. I know a couple guys that tried out that made it for a couple weeks and, talked to them after and they said, I was good in college. I know a couple kids were Ivy League players and they said, there was nothing like that last half of practice. Like that made me see I wasn't ready for this aspect of the world. I thought it was good and
wow.
just get knocked down and it was brutal. You can't do it anymore. I'm glad we look out for the players the way we do. The advancements are the right thing for their bodies, for their lives long term. But I do think on sort of a daily basis, people knew how to fall. They knew how to get hit. They knew how to roll in a way that now these guys just get smacked and they're not used to it because it only happens on Sunday,
Yes, exactly. Jim Rooney.
There's probably some expert that can counter what I just said, but it seems that way.
Yeah, and you were there watching it all. Jim Rooney joining me for one more segment here. His book, A Different Way to Win, about his father, Dan Rooney, who really shaped the Steelers, I guess, by the hiring of Chuck Knoll is what changed everything, correct? The day after that Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was that. Chuck, I think, taught us how to win And I think that was important because I think the goal was always to win. But I think my father, you know, was the architect. I think he saw what a great organization would look like. You know, he was in meetings with Vince Lombardi, with, you know, George Halas, with the guys that had been so successful, Paul Brown. And, you know, the chief was a great promoter, but I don't think he looked at a 24-hour, you know, seven days a week, 24 hours, 365, the way my father did. And I think my father built that vision out for the organization. And then knowing what he wanted, he hired the perfect guy in Coach Knoll. And then I give my father credit then for knowing to hire Coach Cower and Coach Tomlin, because that is how things were sustained. Was, you know, we could have been a one and done good team. Mm-hmm. But I think we created something beyond that because he understood you had to do something more if you were really going to be special. But yes, there's no question that Coach Knoll, you know, as my Uncle Art, you know, who was a great scout, talks about it, was like Moses coming down from the mountain.
Right. And
holding the water, the Red Sea.
That was the analogy he used. Well, and that was your dad who had to recognize that and make the right hire at that point, because, you know, to that point in Steeler history, the right hire was hardly ever made at Coach. And that was, you were telling me last time you were here that the choices were plentiful at that point, and there are some pretty interesting names like Joe Paterno, right? Yep,
absolutely. And before that, as I said, the chief, who was really good at promoting, but we had 16 coaches from 1933 to 1968.
Wow.
So I mean, you know, teams that change their coaches, you know, every other year. Now, they believe the Jock Sutherland from Pitt was a great coach, but he got sick and retired and then passed away soon after. So maybe it would have changed 15 years earlier had Jock Sutherland stayed healthy, but he didn't. And, you know, you had all these coaching changes. And then since then, you know, you have the stability, the continuity. Those things are, I think, important to successful cultures. There's other things you need, but those are elements that are foundational.
Let's finish up with Jim Rooney next. The book again, and it's now the enhanced audio version of the book, is A Different Way to Win, with interviews with everybody from Roger Goodell, Joe Green, Rocky Blyer, Mel Blunt. Who else?
The great Judy Batista from NFL Network. Judy and I sit down.
She's great.
I love Judy. So
the late, great Franco Harris, of course.
Absolutely. So, and then we have a couple other folks from the business world, some lawyers that were involved in the process, the Rooney Rule about finding opportunity. Jeremy Duru, who is a law professor at American University, he, Judy, and I sit down at the end of the book. So, you know, I think folks will really enjoy. They may not enjoy hearing me read for 6 hours. But they'll enjoy the interviews in between.
Yeah, they get you have a good voice. You have a great radio voice, and they'll get all the other ones.
I hope they like my reading, but the interviews really do make it special.
15-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's the Pomp and Joe Show with Jim Rooney. Sean Myers to my left, doing a wonderful job here today. 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. We're going to make some predictions. And I've also got this kid. Was it from West Green the other day? Is that where
it was? West Green Pioneers.
Who made the most phenomenal basketball shot I think I've ever seen. I'm going to check on that, because there was one that I'm remembering where a guy, I can't remember whether he was sitting down in something ridiculous like that, where he was he fell and was sitting in the corner and threw one in. I think this might have been the greatest basketball shot in the history of the sport. We're going to talk to him in the 1 o'clock hour.
I have a West Green story for you.
Can you tell it next? That would be great. I didn't think we were going to get two West Green stories out of this. Did you, Sean?
I did not, but you never know what you're going to get on this show.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. With credit through GM Financial, light rain possible, high of 40, mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 32. And as Sean Myers adds, good weather for Santa, right at the freezing mark. Jim Rooney joining me here for this final segment. Going to be a quick one, Jim, about 10 minutes. But we had a caller call in. And Jim, by the way, obviously the son of Dan Rooney. And the book is called A Different Way to Win. And there's an enhanced audio version. Bunches of new interviews that you should really check out. But we had a caller wonder about Bill Nunn. I remember when you were here a month ago, we talked a little bit about Bill Nunn and his contributions and the type of person he was and what he meant to those dynastic Steelers and well beyond the 70s too, to many Steeler teams and the franchise at large.
And Bill really meant a lot to the entire NFL. You know, it was Bill as a writer. You know, his father was the editor-in-chief of the Pittsburgh Courier, and Bill got into sports. You know, he was an intern that followed the great Wendell Smith, the writer who tracked Jackie Robinson's career for the Courier. Bill was an intern for Wendell, and then he started on the college football beat and focused on the college football teams that, you know, black players were permitted to go to, which we refer to mainly as HBCUs, although they're not all formally HBCUs now. But he covered that team and would build this all-star list every year. And Rosie Greer, who played for the Giants.
Yeah.
The story is that Wellington Mara read about Rosie and told some of his scouts to go watch this film. You know, over and over, so many players in the American Football League, the AFL, got there because of Bill Nunn and the work he was doing with that list. I actually went with the chief to one of the last HBCU banquets ever held in Pittsburgh. It was at the Allegheny Club. And somewhere in the world, there's a picture of me, Art Rooney, Walter Payton, and George Halas.
Oh, my gosh.
Because George and Bill Nunn, you know, because Bill Nunn brought them in for that, and it was Walter's rookie year. So Bill was so, so important, obviously, to the Steelers, but really to all of football. And so many great players were found, not just because of Bill as a scout, but also because Bill, you know, what he did as a writer and bringing awareness to these fantastic players.
Mm. Great, what a legacy.
Great, great guy.
Yeah.
His son was, you know, one of the best actors, great character actor.
Yes.
You know, so, and his son and my brother Art really grew up at training camp together. So they had a really close relationship.
Well, Jim, this was a pleasure. A Different Way to Win is the book. Again, how can people find this? What's the best way to get the enhanced audio version of the book?
You can download the book wherever you download audiobooks. So iBooks is Apple's version. Audible is Amazon's, Google Play, and BarnesandNoble.com. Those are the best places to download audiobooks.
I'd love for you to leave us with the Chuck Knoll story you told last time about you guys, you and the Knolls, vacation together, right? Your family's vacation together, and you caught a certain kind of fish, and then and Chuck, because he was a very worldly man, had you do some research. Tell us about that. Your families were very close, right?
Very, very close, and you know, Marianne is just still, when I get to see her, I feel like it's you know, next to my mother, one of the most significant people I ever get to see, Chris, her son, and their son. You know, they're just unique people. They're just so interested in life. They're so smart, so enlightened. They loved art, loved wine, loved technology. You know, the first time I ever saw a CD, Coach Knoll had a CD player in like 1978. Like, you know, they were testing this stuff, and NFL Films wanted to test it. So remember the big discs?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He had the first one. It was all football on it. And they were trying to see, would it be easier to go back and forth on a film if it was on a disc like that, which actually is true because now it's all on these clouds, and it is easier to make the cuts. But Chuck was you know, revolutionizing that. So being able to spend time at their home, whether it was in Pittsburgh or on vacation. So I told the story last time of the stingray, the baby stingray, but I also was in a canoe with him once in one of these creeks. I think we're in South Carolina, you know, back behind the beachfront. And I'm getting scared because there's alligators everywhere. And, you know, Coach Knoll never yelled at you. And he yelled at me because I was about to tip this canoe over in the middle of like 800 alligators. So he told me to sit down and calm down. So that was a fun, that was an interesting moment. That same trip, we took a raft out way out in the ocean, and you know, he was paddling and this porpoise followed us. So it was really cool to have this porpoise. It followed us for like 10 minutes. And it was, you know, I always feel like that was Chuck Noll's spirit. Like he had that just really calm, had his stuff together, brilliant guy. You know, just one of the best human beings I've ever had a chance to know.
Mm. And the other story was somebody discovered a stingray and he made you guys go to the library to do research on it. Is that how it went?
Well, yeah, it was a baby stingray. We put it in this little tank and then he drove us. We were on this little island off the coast of Tampa. And we drove into the library and we spent about 6 hours at the library.
That's great.
That was Chuck Noll. But my dad loved it. You know, my father was a pilot and it was Coach Noll who got him into flying. Coach Noll was a pilot and he was upgrading his plane. And he said, Dan, what do you think about buying this plane? And he goes, I'll teach you how to fly. And so, you know, my father, it was just such a good release for my father because, you know, the business side of football was growing to 24/7 before the football side did. And for my father to be up in the sky and to use math and you know, the calculations, the things you have to do, sort of a little bit of engineering. So he loved to have his mind engaged in something. But you know, it wasn't football and it wasn't business and it wasn't negotiation. So it was sort of a perfect outlet for him. And then, you know, he crashed the plane. So I tell the story of the crash in the book with Roger Goodell. He and I talk about the plane crash where, you know, my father is up at camp. You know, my father's a little bit crazy. I tell all the good things about him, but he's a little bit nuts. So he's up at camp and he tells my brother, John, I got to leave. So it's Friday Night Lights, but it's this year we played it at Greensburg Stadium. He said, I got to leave. And John says, well, what are you leaving for? And he says, well, I got to fly the plane back before it gets dark. John's like, well, why is that? He goes, I don't think there's enough battery for the lights to turn on. So he gets in the plane and takes off and the battery burns out. And because of his arthritis, he can't crank the wheels down. So he crash lands the plane on the grass strip in between the runway at Allegheny County Airport out in West Mifflin.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, by this time it's on the news and he goes home and my mother is crying. And he says, what are you crying for? That was my best landing.
That is amazing.
So that's Dan Rooney for you.
Well,
bad pilot, but he's the guy you want if you're crashing because he was going to take care of the situation.
Right. That's great. And there's how many stories in this book? Practically, it must be hundreds of stories in this book, and you can hear the voices too. So you get to actually sort of sit down and become almost part of the interview with people like Franco, Roger Goodell, Mel Blunt, Joe Green. It's called A Different Way to Win, Jim Rooney, and this is the enhanced audio version. And Jim, thanks for taking time on Christmas Eve to come in here and talk.
It's so good. I'm sure Pomp takes off Valentine's Day or Easter or something.
Oh, you'll be back.
So
yeah.
We'll find out.
I mean, if you wanted to come in every time Bob wasn't here, you'd be my regular partner. We'd be doing this thing 4 days a week.
Pomp is the best, and Merry Christmas to him and his family.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to